知らないよ。
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Comic Book Queers All Stars. I am your host, Brett, and with me, I almost said Legacy, but I was like, we don't do Legacy anymore, and then I just, All Stars came out. I am your host, Brett, and with me, as always, is the legend, the all-star, Evil Jeff. Hi, Evil.
Woo! I mean, All Stars, how many hosts have there been of Comic Book Queers?
I lost track after I left the show, because in the original show, for a while, it was Eric, Steve, and what was our trans friend's name? You might not even... Who was that? There was a name.
From the very beginning?
Very beginning.
I do not remember
that. In and out in the first 20. Okay. Then it was me and then Lindsay. She lives in New York now, by the way.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well... Yeah, I remember there was another dude, and I totally don't remember his name. That hosted a couple of episodes.
Yeah. I mean, I would think, like, overall, there was, like, probably, like, 12, maybe, like, 10. Because they brought in, like, Steve brought in a bunch of guys after. I think you
after
recorded
we left.
With them more than I did. Maybe?
No.
Or you
no.
We left around the same time.
Yeah. We left, like, the same time. I think right after you left, I left very, very, very shortly.
Very soon after. Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, but now there's only two.
Yeah, and we are the all-stars. I mean, come on.
Because we were the losers in the first round, and so.
And
we'll talk about Drag Race All-Stars a little bit later.
I guess we will. We have to.
We have a
brought
lot.
Up it. Yeah.
We have a lot to talk about, though.
We do.
A lot, because a lot of... Movies have dropped, announcements have dropped. You and I, as always, have our little gay fingers on that big throbbing pulse. And I think we should talk about all the shit, starting with some things that got me in my feels.
Okay.
Some things that dropped, and I...
And he was like, and she was like, and then they were all like, and I was all like, what?
We got some hot topics to talk about, one in particular, with several subtopics. Evil Jeff, have you heard of the X-Men Age of Revelation?
I have heard of it. Yeah, so we had Age of Apocalypse, and now Apocalypse has been taken over by Doug Ramsey, Cypher, and he's Revelation. So, of course, we're going to have Age of Revelation.
This is the Age of Apocalypse 30th anniversary, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So a little homage.
And what happened in Age of Apocalypse, all of the comics that were out changed titles while it was the Age of Apocalypse.
A line-wide takeover.
Yes. What was Generation X called?
Oh, God damn it. That's like one of the ones that I can't remember. Wasn't Generation X called, like, it was something very similar? Generation Next. I believe it was Generation Next, and it was Colossus and Kitty.
Yes.
And a group of kids. There was Gambit and the Externals. There was the, I forget what the adjectives were for the X-Men, Amazing X-Men. Anyway, we're doing it all over again with Age of Revelation. Line-wide takeover. It's going to even spill into the main Marvel line, not just the X-Books, but into the Marvel line as well. And they dropped a ton of titles that are going to be part of this event. We'll get to those in a second. First, we're looking at a cover that seems to be set in an alternate future. Hello. That's the nature of the beast here.
I like to do the Wolverine with just like his adamantium skull like shining through, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, face torn.
And
right
we
off.
See some Zorn, Magneto, Cyclops. Is that Beast?
That's Beast.
And then who's that next to Zorn?
Glob.
You're right. It's Glob.
An and then up, it's a militant.
And then the flying is that Jen?
That's Jen. Good old Jen.
Okay.
All right. So this is set 10 years in the future. After I read something that says Cyclops welcomes Doug onto his team. So I think the first thing we'll see in terms of the inciting incident is that Doug Ramsey will join Cyclops' X-Men. He's on the run, which we saw in the last Uncanny. Or
and he was like, we need a team. I thought he was going to get new people, but he's just going to join the Alaska X-Men.
I think he might join Scott. Yeah. And then from there, shit goes down, creating this alternate universe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I do find it weird that it's like, if it creates an alternate universe, does that mean there's time travel where they've changed something in the past, which is something that just happened?
Does it not create an alternate universe? It's just the thing that happens in this one, and we time jump
10 years in the future, and then they go back in the past and change it so that it doesn't happen. Okay, right, because it's also weird how Legion did just show up in that
Ms. Marvel book,
all new, the Ms. Marvel garbage thing that's happening.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, what are the new books? Let's pop
glad
that
you
up.
Asked. We have a graphic right here.
This is crazy. You sent this to me and I was like, oh, what? So Amazing X-Men is Amazing X-Men like astonishing?
I would imagine
what's
amazing...
exceptional? Is that exceptional, you think?
I wonder, if there is a one-for-one title change here.
Okay. Like, or is it maybe not?
Yeah, is Amazing our Scott book? Is Unbreakable Uncanny? Is Expatriate X-Men exceptional X-Men?
Right. And then Uncanny is Amazing. Here? Okay. Yeah. I think that's what it is. Okay.
Or Uncanny is Unbreakable, maybe. And Amazing is just adjectiveless, the Scott book. But we've got so many others.
Yeah. Wolverine, Larkin, Sabretooth.
Wait,
that's
we've got
interesting.
The last Wolverine.
It's and the last. Oh, I thought it said the lost Wolverine.
No.
Okay. Last. The last Wolverine. So that's still going through some stuff. What I find interesting is Binary.
Yeah.
So like Captain Marvel Binary.
Actually, I think your Freudian slip just now is correct. I think it's going to be Kamala.
Oh, so Ms. Marvel is going to become Binary.
Maybe.
Oh God, she just fucking copies everything off of Carol.
Everything.
Danvers.
Well, we don't know for sure. It could be Carol.
The other thing that I think is funny is Cloak or Dagger.
Cloak or Dagger.
Or Dagger,
is,
not and.
Which is very, have you seen, you probably haven't played it, have you seen any Marvel Rivals, the video game?
Is Cloak and Dagger, like they're a combo character, right?
Yeah, and you can switch back and forth. Like you can become Dagger or become Cloak. You can't play, or you can become Clerk, who's a very boring character. But you can't play as both of them together. You have to switch between one or the other.
You know, I wish this came out during Pride and they had Cloak and Bull Dagger.
Yes.
That's what I've always wanted. But, you know, alas, I'll have to wait longer for it.
Alasso. Iron and Frost.
Iron and Frost. So what? These two are getting back together. Yes.
Something happens. They get back together. Do they form a detective agency? A law firm? What? Speaking of law firm. Tangent, I did share with you the photo op that I bought for the upcoming New York Comic Con. Marvel Esquire is the name of the package, and it is a photo op with Charlie Cox and Tatiana Maslany.
Two lawyers.
I think what I'm going to do, the two lawyers, what
I'm going to dress up as a lawyer.
I think I'm going to put handcuffs on.
Oh, you're going to be the criminal. Oh, you're
going to
be
like
the criminal.
A perp walk, and I'm just going to look at him and be like, guys, it's not good. Smile for the camera. Because we have a lot of work ahead of us. And then they'll be like, I really need your representation. And then they'll be like, you're hilarious. Would you be our best friend and hang out with us after this? And I'll be like, yeah. And then we'll go get drinks. And they'll be like, you know what? Will you go on tour with us? And I'm like, I didn't even realize you guys were touring. And they're like, well, we are. And I'm like, why? They're like, we'll talk about it later. We need.
And then Charlie Cox is like, you know what? I think I'm experimenting with my sexuality. Can I just like fuck you a few times to see if I'm gay? And you're like, fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tatiana Maslany's like, can I watch? And you're like, why not, Orphan Black?
Uh-huh. And then she actually turns into She-Hulk from the power of her sex.
Yeah. Yes.
Like in real life.
All right. But here, let's talk about the one that has me the most excited, Longshots.
Wait, you're going to skip right over Laura Kinney Sabretooth? Okay. Okay.
We did. I said that already.
All right. Long shot.
I hate Sabretooth. I'm not that crazy about Laura Kinney. So Laura Kinney is Sabretooth. I mean, she kind of, you started out wearing that Sabretooth-esque costume. Although, who was that that she was wearing with the little skulls?
Fang.
Fang. Fang. Right, right. Whatever. I don't care. This last Laura Kinney one, I'm done with her. Let's talk about long shots. We had said, we had just said in just this said show.
On the last show.
Where is Longshot? What is happening? And we got long shots. Uh-huh. So that means if it's long shots, then that means maybe we have a Shatterstar and Dazzler.
Maybe.
Please. Or
do we have all of our luck characters together in one book? How fun would that be?
Domino, Longshot. Who else has luck powers?
I don't know. Felicia Hardy.
Who's Felicia Hardy?
Yeah, Black Cat.
Oh, Black Cat. Right, right. Could we add
Scarlet Witch? Scarlet Witch? Probability.
Yeah.
Isn't there another luck character person? Anyway.
Probably.
I'm excited for this next one also. Omega Kids.
Omega Kids. The Omega Kids.
Is this a 30-year-old Quentin Quire taking care of?
Yeah, if it's 10 years in the future... He might have like a power pack. Like, here's my theory. Because he's probably with Phoebe and they had quintuplets and they all have powers.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be cool? And so it's like power packs-esque.
Or is it him and Edie? Is it him and Temper?
Oh.
Which is a little bit more.
Does he have a little harem and it's all of them?
Oh, a secret harem, which we'll get to later.
Yeah, he's like the multiple. Yeah, it's kind of like a Nick Cannon situation where he's just fathering, or Elon Musk, where he just has tons of babies with different women.
It's great. These are great men. Radioactive Spider-Man. Okay.
Radioactive Spider-Man. Which Spider-Man do you think this is?
Oh, it's got Ben Reilly written all over it. No, I hope it's Miles.
Is Peter Parker still a Spider-Man too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
One and then Ben Reilly.
Ben Reilly is Chasm now.
But yeah, that's what I was saying. You think it's going to be him?
No, I think it'll be Miles.
Okay. And then Rogue Storm.
Rogue Storm.
But it's weird where it's not Rogue and Storm.
No, it's Rogue Storm.
Rogue Storm.
Which means they're lesbians, they got married, and they formed a portmanteau as their new last name.
Or is it that Rogue accidentally permanently absorbed Storm's powers?
Oh, bitch.
And it's only Rogue, and Storm is dead. Okay, Black Storm. Erasure, racist.
Oh, my God. Okay. Thanks, Marvel.
Then we have Sinister's Six.
That's a fun title. A play off the Spider-Man group.
Sinister's Six. So the Sinister Six is a Spider-Man villains. But Sinister's Six, who would his six be?
Who knows? I can't even fathom.
Yeah, I'm interested if it's just going to be random people, or is it
gonna
someone connected?
Or is it going to be like Bronze and Axo and Melee?
Oh, yeah, because he was an exceptional. Is Mother Righteous dead?
Oh, girl.
What happened to her?
I think dead.
I wouldn't mind Mother Righteous coming back.
Okay.
I will. Also, what happened? Wait, this is me just not remembering anything. So you know how the AI Sinister became a Dominion?
Yeah.
Is that still a thing, or did they stop that?
No, Phoenix took care of that.
Phoenix took care of it. Okay, right. It's too much to keep in my little brain.
Yeah, well, it got convoluted at the end.
Now we have Undeadpool, which I couldn't care two shits about.
Great, Zombie Deadpool.
Don't care.
X-Vengers!
Nice.
Okay. And then X-Men Book of Revelation. Surprise.
Yeah, which is probably just the main
one. But as I'm not a Bible person, but I understand that the Book of Revelations is a thing in the Bible, and there's a lot of monsters in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Book of Revelations is the like all the steps to the apocalypse.
Fun.
So
that would be fun if that happened these days.
Mm-hmm.
I would like that.
I think it is happening.
Yeah, I think so. But I'm talking like the literal version, like giant beasts with nine heads.
Oh, remember Magnolia, the movie Magnolia?
Yeah,
when it started raining frogs. Yeah. Yeah.
Tom Cruise was very good in that movie. So was Julianne Moore.
Everyone's really good in that movie. What did Julianne Moore say? She's like, fuck you, how dare you? Fuck you!
Get on now, me! God, that's the best scene.
But as a pharmacist was like, wow, this is a lot of morphine. Wow.
Wow.
You're just like, what a dick.
Fuck you. You stand there and you say that to me. Oh, it's so good. Do you know what classic film I just watched, Evil Jeff?
What?
Have you ever seen Wong Kar-wai's In the Mood for Love?
You're asking. Oh, it's my number three. It's my number three movie of like all time.
I just watched it.
It's so, you know, there's a sequel to it. Was it 2046?
2046. There's a prequel too.
What's the prequel called? When was the prequel made?
The prequel is a loose prequel. It is Days of Something. We'll have to look it up later.
Right, but it's not the same actors. It's them younger. It's not Tony Leung.
I don't think it is Tony Leung. Yeah, no.
The Mandarin. That's right.
It's the Mandarin.
We'll keep the Mandarin was in a movie called In the Mood for Love. I do think it is one of the most bittersweet love stories.
Oh yeah,
like it will really.
It's a movie. It about burns the your power heart. Of, like,
but it is also some of the. It's one of the most beautifully shot.
If not the most things. Beautifully shot.
Ever. It's one of those ones where I had to remind, because my husband, it's now like one of his favorite movies, and he then forgot that I showed it to him.
Oh my God.
And then he was trying to be first. Like, well, then my favorite. And I finally was like, listen here, you little bitch.
You wouldn't know it if it wasn't.
You would not know it if it were not for me. I showed you this. I will tell you this. There's another movie you need to watch. If you liked In the Mood for Love, because you loved all of these kind of Asian 60s outfits and the fashion is gorgeous, you need to watch a Japanese movie made in like 1964 called Manji.
Manji.
M-A-N-J-I. It is a movie about lesbian suicide pacts in 1960s Japan. I'm telling if this podcast, if you get anything out of this, watch this movie. It's really hard to find, but basically a housewife gets bored, takes a painting class, falls in love with the nude model, takes her home and is like, I want to drill you naked, take your clothes off. And then she's like, okay. And then she's like, I love you. And then the model's like, well, I love you. And she's like, well, I love you more. I love you so much, I die. Well, I love you so much, I die. Fine, let's die. And then you're like, why? Why? And then the husband comes along and he's like, well, I want to die too. And it's all like elaborate suicide pacts, because you know Japanese, where it's like they set it up and there's candles and teas and powders and harikari.
Yeah.
It's great. Lesbian suicide. You've had me at lesbian suicide.
You had me at lesbian suicide pact.
All right. Anyway,
that's
we talk
the age
about
of Revelation.
Speaking of lesbian suicide pact, should we talk about Superman?
What a perfect, perfect segue. yes, we should.
Whatcha watching? Is it me naked? No? Fine.
All right, well, it's a big day. The new DC Universe has arrived.
Before we start on this, I just want to give a shout out, because you don't watch the show, so I didn't tell you to put it up. But Rick and Morty,
yeah,
their latest episode features James Gunn.
Oh, God.
As the villain.
Oh, God.
It's all about them. There's like some fake robot tree franchise. And James Gunn, because he's in charge of Warner Brothers, has taken it over. And they basically steal the script from him to fix it because they hate what he's doing. And then James Gunn tries to save it back, and then he ends up getting murdered. I don't know. I think it might be his real voice, but he ends up getting murdered in it. And it's kind of amazing.
Well,
but James Gunn's newest is Superman, which just came out.
Yes, it
and
did.
Should we 1, 2, 3 it?
Let's do it. 1, 2, 3. loved it.
I just liked it. I had a lot of problems with it.
You did? I absolutely.
I had a lot of problems with it, but the overall vibe was really fun. And yeah. I feel like this, I like them. My problems were all plot. It's all plot. So I like the actors. I like the performances. I like the look of it. I like the vibe of it. It's what Superman should have been, not you, Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder is also in that Rick and Morty episode. So the vibe is right. The vibe is right. I just, 100% there were just plot points.
The tone there is just right.
The plot points is where it lost me in a lot of places.
Yeah.
But for that, I was not bored. I had a good time. So I did like the movie, but love, I'm not going to do because.
Yeah.
Fucking plot points.
Oh, I had no. At no point did I eye roll. Like, I was there for the whole story. I kind of didn't care about the plot. Like, I was more concerned about, did we capture the character? Did we world build?
Yes, and that successful. And world build it. Successful. Nailed it. And the personalities, the relationships, great. I will say they introduced too many characters. Everybody at the Daily Planet
kind of got lost.
Who's the girl with the big boobs and the white hair?
Cat Grant
didn't need to be in it. She didn't have any importance. Yeah,
but
she literally just showed up being like,
those are the characters that work there. Like,
those I know, but then, there. But then give them something, give her something. She literally had nothing. And then she's like, oh, I'm going to show up in the spaceship. The spaceship, and now here we are, weird. and then we're all hugging. We did it. I'm like, you haven't talked. You haven't had a line at all. What are you doing? You know what I mean? It was just things like that where I bet you she had more of a part, and then it maybe got written and they out. Cut it.
Yeah.
Those things felt clunky.
I did like the fact that the core Daily Planet staff, like the core supporting characters from Superman, were all on the ship together. Just from a I geek out of,
but that's
like
the
that
thing.
Standpoint.
But that's a fan. That's a fan thing.
100%
From a pure like watching the movie and you don't know who they all are, like, then you're like, what's happening? So those are the disconnects that were bothering me. Go ahead.
I was just gonna go ahead. You go first because I was gonna make a more general statement.
My other thing is they relied a lot. There was a little too much exposition.
Oh, you there think was so?
Yes.
I thought they got
many
it
scenes
out of
where
the
people
way,
standing
masterful.
Around. Oh no, many scenes where people standing around talking about the plotting and monologuing.
Yeah.
There was way too much Lex Luthor monologuing to a point where it was, and then I will just say his whole team of like video game people like telling Ultraman how to do moves. I didn't like that at all.
That to I me thought it was he's like so A1, Grant Morrison.
I was like, that this is what is this Battleship?
That was, but that's exactly what Lex Luthor in this time and space in this DC movie would do to battle Superman. Like
he would do it, but I did not believe it. I don't believe yelling out two moves means he could predict Superman's moves. It didn't ring true to me.
I think he studied him a lot and.
But then B12 doesn't mean the intricacies of knowing what someone's moves are ahead of time. You can't just go B12. Like it just. It didn't ring true for me.
That was one of my favorite parts because I thought it was just good Lex Luthering. So I don't know. I thought this was a movie of so many correct choices. Just everything that they were about to do. And I was like, and you did that right. And you did that right. And you did that right. Let's talk about this guy.
Okay, let's bring it up. He's David great. Cornsweet. He's also, do you know how I feel about typical, like a blue-eyed, white dude.
He's literally a Ryan Murphy template. Like, you know, he's from.
I couldn't give two shits. But I'm telling you, my legs were in the air.
Oh yeah.
10 to 2.
Yes, just waiting.
My body was ready. Begging. He's begging. So hot.
He's so hot. And those, I sat in the second row of IMAX, so it was basically just his quads in my face the entire time.
Did you do that on purpose? Do you like to do that?
It was all that was left.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
But it wasn't that bad. It's designed. So
I did. The problem is you're that close in IMAX, then you're literally going like.
No, I mean, you're fine.
The movie.
You do have your feet up on the railing, though, which is my favorite position to be in at a movie theater.
Yeah, ready to receive him.
He's perfect, and the way he's directed is perfect. This Superman smiles. I'm really going to try to not compare him to Cavill and Snyder, but
Cavill is also so hot. No, yeah, but this is who Superman is. He's good. Like,
this
he's
movie
good.
Made
he's
you
not
realize
broody.
How bad that shit was.
Oh, yeah. It's like Superman isn't broody. He's trying to be ideal. And the one thing I did love is that the message from his parents, it was broken. And he lived off that first message of like, be good, you know, be a hero. And then he didn't realize. And they were like, and if they don't listen, you know, use force and take them over.
Fuck him up.
And so he didn't know that part of the message. And that's what's going to get me to my other big beef. This movie did not handle social media well. It used very basic tropes that we hated.
Yeah.
We hated an uncanny X-Men, where it's like, hey, there's a news article. What? I guess everybody hates Superman now.
Yeah,
what? Yes. There's another news article? I guess we all hate Lex Luthor now and we love Superman. It's too cliche easy. Like, that's
however,
not how that works.
What this movie does understand is that is our current threat. That billionaires in power, memes and bots, misinformation, that is the supervillainy of today. And fine, it had like a simplified version of it. Like, yes, all of a sudden the internet turned on Lex Luthor because like one investigative thing dropped. I'm sitting there going, well, half the world is saying, well, that's not a credible news agency. You know, like,
that's what I mean.
News.
That's what I'm
like,
saying is people are so stuck in their views that one news article does not sway public opinion anymore.
Right.
So that also bothered me.
Yeah. Yes. But I do like that it understood that is what we are dealing with.
Yes, although they're still working at a newspaper.
But what are you going to do?
It's the Daily Planet.
But you make them the New York Times, though. I think that's the right move.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
but overall, I do feel one of the strong points was the Justice Gang. I think the Justice Gang. Do you have other? What's your next?
I want to talk about the supporting players. The Justice Gang, with one in particular, was fantastic.
Mr. Terrific. Which,
and we know who that actor is, right?
He's from X-Men.
He's Darwin.
First Class. Worst kill
he's the one
ever.
Got screwed.
Made no sense.
He's the one that got
no, made no sense. Anyway, he's great.
He's great.
Really
he's
great.
So great. He adds such
and of course,
a humor and tone to this.
What's his nuts? The guy from Castle.
Guy and, Gardner, Nathan Fillion.
From Nathan Firefly. Fillion. Firefly. He's great. I do feel Hawk Girl. I didn't get her.
A little bit of a parody there, felt like.
I didn't fully get what her powers were. Like, why was she screaming like a hawk?
Yeah, well, she's from that hawk planet, you know. They just haven't gone into
okay, so those are her real wings.
Yeah, I think, like, if they're still... I'm not that familiar, but I understand she and Hawkman are from the planet of, like, Thangarar or something like that, and, like, that's them. Like, them's their wings and their screams. And
okay, I wish that maybe she acted more bird-like when she wasn't fighting.
Like, more alien. I mean, because
yeah,
I could be wrong, because
she seemed like a normal girl, and then she'd fight, and she'd be like... And I was like... And this is just someone who doesn't understand the character as much.
I loved it. Like, yeah, a girl named Hawk Girl should be crying like a hawk during battle. That's what.
But then
Hawk
I want.
Girl
I wish
do.
She would be like when they were talking about what to do. She'd be like, ah! Like I wish she just did it when she was normal too.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Oh, this is who she is.
It's her battle cry. She's not going to do that in Starbucks.
Well, but you know, eat a worm or something. You know what I mean? You know,
like, or fly above and be like, I see them with my hawk eye. You know, well.
Yeah. It was that sort of saying whatever. A lot of things he's doing for like fans, because there were definitely parts where I could hear people be like, oh, yeah. And it was like, oh, I don't get this reference.
What I do love, though, is clearly this is the prototype of the Justice League. Like, clearly in these movies, we're going to get a proper Justice League, and they're going to kind of fill in, like, they're going to be the real version of whatever this is trying to be.
We had
the Hall of Justice straight from Super Friends. So that exists. So I liked that. I liked that this prototype Justice League is these B-list characters who were very effective. I like that we started with DC B-listers.
Yes. And also, I love Lois Lane, Rachel Brosnahan.
Rachel Brosnahan.
She's kind of perfect. Yeah, and I will say, Amy Adams, great actress, just not a Lois Lane.
Not a Lois Lane. James Gunn casted for chemistry, clearly. Like, Amy Adams and Henry Cavill, zero chemistry. These two work.
And then who was it? Kate Bosworth? Oh, it was
Kate Bosworth. Ugh.
No.
What?
And I will say, the original Superman was Margot
Kidder. Oh, she's the best. We'll always
Kidder. She had that right spunk. Like, there's a spunk to Lois Lane that she has. And Rachel just had she had the chemistry.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy Olsen, how old is he now? Because I always felt like I just see him. I always felt like he was a teenager in everything I saw him. And then I was like, oh, he's like
20s.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, I guess he's an adult now.
Yeah.
Is he a playboy in the comics?
I'm sure there's an iteration.
Because it wasn't just her. There was also other girls being like, oh, Jimmy Olsen. And I'm like, what's going on?
It's his power. He's appealing.
He's hot.
People find him sexy. Lois says, she's like, how do you do it? I loved it. What an interesting angle for Jimmy Olsen. Like, just girls fall in love with him everywhere he goes.
Yeah, but they did bring up that Clark Kent's glasses make people not be able to recognize him. And yes. I love that.
Which also is from the comics.
Yes. But the fact that you're now putting it out in a movie where that's an ongoing joke for people that aren't familiar with the comics to say that. So you're just like, there, it's in the bed. Don't bring it up anymore.
One of my favorite moves that James Gunn made was setting them in the Daily Planet first. You meet Lois in the Daily Planet first, and she's looking at Clark like, how come you and Superman are never in the same room? And you're like, oh, she doesn't know. And then like the very next scene, you realize they've been in a relationship and she absolutely knows. And she was like, no, I'm just playing devil's advocate. People are starting to wonder.
And it is interesting where I've talked to a few people that saw it, and there's like a half and half of people that are so happy it's not an origin story, and then other people being like, oh, I hated how it started in the middle. Why wasn't it an origin story?
Do you need to see that again?
That's how I feel. I feel like I don't need to rehash.
I loved what he did in the beginning. Three centuries ago, Metahuman showed up. Three decades ago, he crashed to Earth. Like, I loved that opening because it put the whole world in context.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what else it did. This is why I loved it. And this is a big move on James Gunn's part. The Zack Snyder movies. Think about how much was based on the fact, like, oh my God, if we know about Superman, well, no aliens exist. Superman, you can't save anybody because then the world will know aliens exist. Oh, okay, Superman fights Zod. Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, is all about how the world freaked the fuck out over people like crashing into buildings, fighting each other, and Batman had to like shut it all down. Marvel, Sokovia Accords, like they did so much damage in Age of Ultron, and it's now superheroes are banned. Oh my God, we can't get over. This was like they've existed for 300 years. People are
also, do you know how many times monsters come and people are just like,
exactly. Exactly.
I like that
That's
too.
What's
I like
great.
That too.
That allows you to have fun in this world and not be so dragged down in like the politics and it's real and all the damage you're doing. No, Metropolis evacuated in an orderly fashion when a dimensional rift was happening. Like Metropolis was like, okay, they just picked up their shit and they got out of there. I like
that. Yeah. I definitely like that too. I loved when he like goes to meet with Lois and then we see like the big interdimensional eyeball. Was that from Suicide Squad? That's a different thing, right?
I don't think so. Yeah.
That thing at the end with all
You're
the it looked
Starro.
Very
it's not.
Oh, Starro. It wasn't that. Okay. But them just fighting that and he's like, no, they got that. And it just kept happening in the background while they were having a very serious conversation. That's the stuff when I was like, mwah, mwah.
That's how you make the DC Comics universe different from Marvel.
Yes. I think my main complaints were Lex's scheming felt very contrived to me.
I
think that was my main thing with the plot. It felt very contrived, and then he also seemed he seemed a little too thin-skinned.
This is everything I loved about it. Because he's jealous.
But I feel like it made him not a formidable enemy.
Which is what I loved. Like I've never understood why Lex Luthor is like the end all be all of like, I've got you all now. Like, no, he's just a fucking guy who thinks he's smart. Like, I like that it was fallible. I like that it was Silver Agey. This was a Lex Luthor I absolutely see in the pink and green armor.
Okay.
It's like he was like a very Silver Agey, no, I built a portal into another dimension, like it's nothing, comic book villain. And I think that's
I guess I would like to see an arc where maybe you started off thinking he was like a mastermind and then you realize he's just unhinged.
He's just a fucking asshole who wants to be the center of attention, but Superman is, and so he's jealous, and also I think he kind of has a little crush.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is let's have an arc to that, not flatline through the whole thing. But it's fine. Yes. But these are things where it's like, it's more just the mechanics of it. I just felt I just wanted more from the scheming. The schemings felt where I was like, really? That's what you're gonna do? That's dumb. Yeah. I wanted it to be smarter. Like the fact that it's like, you can't beat me. And then he's like, hey, dog, go eat the monitors. And he's like, no. I was like, yeah, you're bad at this.
And also, it's the beginning. You know what I mean? Like, Lex Luthor will be back. I'm sure he'll be more formidable because of... That's another thing we have to keep in mind. Like, this is movie one of a grand narrative that they've got planned.
Yeah. How did this do, though? How is this doing at the box office?
I think it's doing really well. It's getting great reviews, and I think from that, great box office. I hope.
Okay.
Do you know that,
or are you just making that up?
No, I don't know that. Ma and Pa Kent, I think, were my favorite thing about the movie.
Okay, it had a $122 million opening at the box office.
Is that good?
Yes. It's not like breaking a record.
Yeah, but it's doing well.
But this weekend it's estimating over $220 million.
Great.
So it's going to be a hit. Yeah.
This movie, and it will not have a drop into week two. I think if anything, it'll hold strong. Because I don't think there's anything else.
There's nothing else. What else is coming out that people are going to watch instead?
Right. Wait, can we talk about the Kens, please?
Sure.
I'll get your boots. This is the first time the Kens have been ugly, and I am here for it.
Also, okay, this was a little issue for me. People don't have Southern accents in Kansas.
Oh, God, they didn't have Southern accents, did they?
They were kind of talking like this.
Isn't that what they sound like there?
No.
No?
Kansas is like, I think it's like, it's where it goes from Southern to Midwestern. So it kind of, it's a little more neutral. It's a little more neutral.
I don't know. I thought they were great. Everything they said, I just ate it up. He's a crier. He's a big softy. They're the ones that influenced this would-be conqueror to become the epitome of good. I love that.
And then what do we have next? What's after this slide? Are you going to talk about?
Oh, just how Clark Kent's the hottest fucking thing on the planet. And I needed more Clark Kent. That's my only gripe. Only one scene of Clark Kent was my only gripe. I needed
much,
much
more.
Well,
here's my other gripe.
Of this.
You're not going to have topless scenes with him?
I liked that.
No.
Jeff and I, my husband and I were talking about, they immediately went shirtless with Cavill. Immediately. And I'm like, I like that they didn't objectify him. I like that they're just making Superman good, and that's it. He's not sexy.
I need something to jerk off to, Brett. So I want some topless. I want to see nips.
Is he topless in anything? Well, he hasn't worked out in previous stuff. I gotta watch Pearl. I haven't seen Pearl.
Oh, is he in Pearl?
He's like the male lead in Pearl. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I'm a star. Okay,
I'm obsessed with him. I think this is a great start. I love that they. Oh, can we talk about little Easter eggs? Little.
Yeah,
buildings?
We were going to talk about Supergirl.
Let's talk about Supergirl.
Are you okay? Oh, what are you just leaving? Oh,
we're setting this up.
Supergirl. Is this the same character that the WB show is?
I have no idea. Melissa Benoist. I think so. I mean, I think she's always Kara, you know, the cousin. Yeah. Yeah. But she walked in. She's a mess, which is where I think she is in the beginning of this book. I think they've actually done a good job setting up this book, which is going to be a movie.
Where she's going to be just party girl. Party girl needs to, like,
she needs to go to
take some responsibility for her life.
So she can get drunk.
Yeah.
I knew the entire time Crypto, I knew we were going to see her because I was like, they've never said where Crypto came from. It's absolutely going to be Supergirl's dog. And lo and behold, loved that.
Was Crypto always Supergirl's dog?
I don't think so. But
where did Crypto, because is Crypto Crypto because he was a dog from Krypton?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I think so.
Otherwise,
why name him Crypto?
What are the other Easter eggs? Did you get? I didn't get what the last moment in the post-credits scene meant.
It was just, to me, it was just sending a message that this stuff is just going to be fun. And that's it.
It's just gonna be fun. I didn't know if they were.
We're not going to take
this
shit too seriously. We're just going to have fun.
All right.
That's all.
What else?
That's all.
That's it.
Sean Gunn showing up as Maxwell Lord in that TV interview.
But he has to at this point. He has to show up in anything he does.
Sending the message that this is no way connected to the Gal Gadot Wonder Woman movies because Pedro Pascal was Maxwell Lord in those movies.
So changing that up. Oh, okay.
Changing
great.
That. Yep.
I need the stone. Fucking Gal Gadot. Oh. It is interesting that they did pick the girl who was the Black Widow in Captain America is Superman's mom in The Message, right?
What? Oh, in The Message. I think it meant Ma Kent. I was like, huh?
Isn't that the same actress?
I don't know. Oh, the Black Widow. Oh, no. That actress is Megan 2.0.
Oh, really?
And that wasn't her. Yeah.
Okay. I just see wide set eyes and then I'm just like, oh, that's like you.
Yeah, not her.
Bradley
Cooper, though.
Who?
Bradley Cooper.
Oh, right. As the, Marlon Brando.
As
Marlon Brando, Bradley Cooper, who played the dad? Did the dad, was anyone the dad in the Zack Snyder ones?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Also, people are the right is very angry because Superman is like pro immigration and
protects brown people.
He's an alien.
Right.
You're like, how? Why are you protecting illegal aliens? He's an alien.
Somebody should make like MAGA Superman. Somebody should make that and have a Superman that's just like picking up brown people and throwing them into alligator swamps and be like, this is your superhero.
I mean, that's kind of what Peacemaker was supposed to be.
Yeah.
I love that Peacemaker showed up.
He showed up. And did you, his line before they turned the TV off was, well, the other thing about I can't stand about heroes is that they're all so jealous of me because I'm so much more jacked than them. Stupid.
And that's going to be coming out soon, too.
Oh, also, that's coming out too. And it's more, it now is like more integrated into DC Studios. Also, Frank Grillo, what's his name from Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and then Civil War, where he played, what's his name? Backbone? Bonebreaker? Mm-hmm. Crossbones. He's playing Rick Flagg Sr., who is the old man with the white hair in Creature Commandos. That's the same character.
Oh, and is that the same world then, the Creature Commandos?
Yes.
So that, okay. Love it.
Creature Commandos was technically the first DC Studios Gunniverse thing.
Right. Love it.
Love it.
All right. Well, good for you, Superman. Great start. Fix your plotting, but not according to Brett, but according to me.
Make Lex Luthor smarter. Oh. Oh, shoot. I gave away the next segment. I jumped to the next
one. Wait, did you want to talk about... should we talk about Drag Race real quick?
We should talk about Drag Race All-Stars because it's so weird to just have two queens eliminated. Isn't that so weird?
I do wish they had more episodes to narrow it down before the finals. I think that would be fun.
To have the tournament and then have two eliminations.
Well, it's just three. Each section is three episodes. So each bracket is three episodes and then the merge is three episodes.
Yeah,
I do wish that there was just maybe two or three more episodes to just narrow it down a little bit more.
Call it down.
I think that would be fun.
Because it feels like an unruly finale.
Yeah. I will say Mistress... I watched the thing from Roscoe's and
what happened?
It was Aja. And they were like, how are you not freaking out? And she was like, oh, on my way to set that day, George just gave me an edible. She's like, so I was so baked that I just was not registering whether I should start fighting or not.
But she
was like this, so she's like, the fact that I didn't throw hands was because I was just baked, being like, huh? But then she said after that ended and the camera stopped, Mistress went, sister, we just made some good TV, didn't we? So Aja then realized like, oh, she's just pulling stunts.
Yeah.
She's literally doing it to get her. She knows she can get a rise out of me so that the cameras can get it and she can have shit to talk about. And so some people are like, some people hate that. Some people love that. I forgot. Do you like Mistress or do you not like Mistress?
I don't, but I'm not like, how dare she? Like, I get it.
No. But I do think it's the opposite where people are like, oh, I can't be the villain anymore because it'll be. So people are trying really hard to not be the villain. And now she's trying hard to just be the villain.
Also, I don't think all of it is motivated by wanting good TV. I think she's also just emotionally not that intelligent. Sometimes.
In the beginning of the episode after she
when she
survived
like,
the lip sync,
she's like,
she was feeling a type of way. Yeah, she could not comprehend. And afterwards where she was like, I don't need this. The rest of you need this. I could just make a YouTube video. I'm already faint. Like the insecurity.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
And that's what it all comes down to is like.
Yeah.
Every time you don't excel, you are being told like you're not one of the top tier queens. Sorry. And you never will
but
be.
But I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing. No one's becoming a drag queen because they got high self-esteem. True. No one becomes an actor because they have high self-esteem. You're doing something so that fans will be like, you're amazing. You know what I mean?
You're escaping into something you're not so that fans will be
exactly.
Like,
and then you're going to put them in this pressure cooker. Of course, they're all going to bubble over and go crazy. Yeah. And you know what? That's what I want. So it gave me what I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you agree that Mistress should have been sent home?
I definitely think she had the worst talent. I think Lydia did not have the second worst talent.
I agree.
I do think it is a lot of everyone did just kind of do tracks. So there's no kind of differentiating. All in all, it's like who has the best track. Right. I think Lydia is very close to Willow Pill.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is Lydia isn't sticking the landing.
Her execution is very poor.
I think I don't even mind the execution. I kind of love that it's like a sloppy striptease as Humpty Dumpty egg. Hilarious.
That was intentional.
I felt that, but for me, I thought it was funny. Where it's like I'm so big that how am I supposed to rip that off?
True.
But the ending of the egg, I feel like it's the same thing with the other one where she was like had the talking penis. It just needed, it's kind of like an SNL sketch where it's like they didn't like the end. Yeah. It's like the button. She just needed the button just isn't right.
Right.
If she had the right button, then it would have been great. But I still think she's doing something far more different and interesting than like, I know Georges was in the top, but it's just a little sanitized to me.
It is. The challenge kind of required them to give you what you expect from them.
Yeah, but like, Bosco,
you've got 60
I felt
seconds
did
to communicate your brand.
I feel Bosco did something really clever and felt like really she clever. Did deserve the win. Yeah. You know, and I really thought Ginger doing Gypsy Mom or like Rose's turn, like her version of kind of Rose's turn, was also really funny.
Yeah
it's hard. Like no one really did bad.
Yeah,
but. I don't know, but I did feel Mistress's kind of felt a little flat to me.
Mistress had, there was no point of view there. Like, I understand you're steeping it in the world of weight loss. Bosco's was the, even Ginger, like, wasn't exactly a point of view driven act. Bosco's
I feel she should have sung live. I think Ginger should have sung live.
Yeah, but that's always, I feel like it's the death knell anytime a queen does that.
Well, she sang live before and did well.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
No.
She's a theater act singer.
Yeah.
Look, anyway, I think it's going well. I do feel that there's just some insane rabid fans. And I'm realizing it's just with Drag Race, it's very similar to like Superman and X-Men. There's fans, when you get this successful, there's just fans that are going to hate no matter what you do. And it's kind of getting tiring for me, the crazed fans.
Or even worse, love what you do so much that like anyone who dares criticize you.
Yeah. Where it's a thing where it's like, can we all just like watch the show and have our own opinions? And it's like, no.
Yeah.
How dare you have a different opinion than me?
If I became all powerful, first thing I would do, I would destroy the internet.
You read Private Eye from what's his name? Who's Brian K. Vaughan's Private Eye?
No.
What? It's so good. It takes place like 100 years in the future, and it's sometime around like 2040, the cloud burst, and all internet was released to everyone, so everyone's nudes, everyone could read everyone's emails, and so they just literally took down every satellite.
Yeah.
And so it's 100 years in the future and things are futuristic, but there is no internet. And at the age of 18, you dress in a disguise because privacy is the most important thing. So everyone walks around in like Halloween masks all the time.
Oh my God.
Oh, you should read it. It's really good. It's really good. Private Eye comic.
Private Eye. Are we going to do some
X-Men watching
movies?
You. Yeah. Comic. I just talked about a comic. So let's talk about some fucking comics.
It's Mutants with Powers Omega for Hours. Bitch, let's read some X-Men.
All right, we got three X-Men comic books that we want to talk about, starting with Laura Kinney Wolverine, number 8, and want to talk about is a stretch.
Giving you what everybody's waiting for, Laura Kinney reunited with Haymaker. We've been waiting for years.
Hey, at least Haymaker is a trans-masked non-binary fighting character.
Sure. Great.
Anything to say about this book? This is going to be a short segment.
No.
Yeah.
It's like, it was like a one-off, and then there was no point to it. Where it's like...
filler.
Yeah, I just... Yeah, no.
And then Gabby shows up at the end, her face is melted, and we're like, yes, this is what we... This is what we
Yeah,
want.
Maybe start there.
Start with Gabby. All right, so Gabby's coming. We'll stay on. Next book is Magic, number 7. Girl, this book had so many words.
But I feel like, I think they kind of have figured out what's going on. I feel the first, like, 5 issues, I'm kind of like, what is happening? At least now I'm like, oh, I know what's happening. Everything is very clear.
Okay, yes.
And I do kind of like the relationship between Magic and Ileana, and kind of is strained. Danny, that's what, yeah, Danny and Ileana is kind of strained. And I like that.
Like that.
I do like that the Cows now has Liminal inside of him.
I do like that she's kind of reconciled with Darkchild and kind of goes back and forth, and Darkchild's just like her kind of side.
But once again, but you are right. There's a lot of like these explainy panels. A
lot of explaining.
Which I honestly think they could have gotten rid of half of them.
Yeah.
And we still would know what's going on.
Make a secret organization dedicated to fighting Eldritch forces less explainy.
Yeah, also because this is a brand new one. Know what this should have done? They should have brought in, what's it called? What's the one that, What's His Nuts was writing and then it got canceled? Hickman. What's the one Hickman was writing with Doctor? It was like the science versus sorcery.
Gods.
What?
G-O-D-S.
Gods.
Yeah.
It should have been that. It should have been them.
That level of, yes.
Or it should have just been that they're part of the Marvel Universe.
Gotcha.
Like, just be them.
They feel bigger than what these people are up to. But.
But sure, but don't create a whole, I don't know, it looked pretty big. I do the thing where she was like, where the woman's like, and then I inverted a star and empowering her with sorcery, impressed. And she's like, not really. And she's like, oh, okay.
Okay, well, fuck me.
So this one's okay, but a little wordy. But improve. I feel there's an improvement.
Improvement.
This bitch.
Not Uncanny X-Men. What number is this? Mutina. She is a saucy little bitch. She's murderous. She's
there
the
is
new
now,
ghost face.
It's a new horror movie, a Scream-esque horror movie, but the killer is a mutant, and they're basically like, oh, this is getting popular, but it's also sending the message
that
mutants
are
scary
psychotic
killers. Brilliant. No one has done this before.
No one's done this before. And did you catch the reference in Laura Kinney? They mention it.
Oh, they do?
In one of them, either Magic or Laura Kinney. Somebody was like, no, you're not going to see Murder Me, Mutina. You're too young. Yeah.
Must have browsed past that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But great. Love this. But I will say this. They said Letitia. Is this an established character?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so.
Or is she a mutant? It seemed like she is a mutant.
She is a mutant.
Because she has powers.
Very self-aware.
So she's a mutant that hates
she has shadow
mutants.
Powers. Yeah.
But that's what I am curious of, like, is this someone that we've seen before? Because they weren't showing the full face. So I'm wondering, is this going to be a reveal?
A reveal.
And then
later.
We're going to be like,
even if it's not an existing character, is there going to be another character we think is normal coming along later? And then we'll have the reveal. She's Mutina.
Letitia Leach. Interesting. Oh, wait. It's already put up. Okay. Nope. She's already in the Marvel fandom wiki as Letitia Leach and first appearance Uncanny X-Men number 17.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fine.
Good.
I love this. It's smart. And we're still seeing those other, how those characters are developing, the relationship between Jitter and Calico.
Yep.
And then, you know, Death Dream and I always forget the other one's name.
Ransom.
I didn't. I shouldn't even trust myself. Like there where he like hugs him and he's like, this is the hug. I don't know if I like it. Yep. Like, and he kept being like, just like, I want to see the cartoon. Like there's just like fun character traits of all of them. And this is what's kind of smart is we're seeing kind of the effects of all this mutant stuff is having through the lens of these young mutants.
Yeah.
And so then the mentors, the actual Rogue and Jubilee and all them, are then having to deal with the aftermath because of how it's affecting these young mutants. Mm-hmm. Something that Extraordinary doing correctly.
Yeah, and like the other thing Exceptional is not doing is
Exceptional.
Giving us these kind of character moments that somehow feel unique to them and work. Like there are so many moments with each of these four young kids that is just so interesting and human and fun and distinct. And you're not getting that from the three kids in.
You know what I think is why? And I need to say this in a way that doesn't
get me canceled. I know why.
And I don't want to use the term woke, but I do think an Exceptional, they're so concerned with each of the characters' prototype of like what they represent.
Yeah.
This person is a BIPOC this. This person is a bisexual this. This person is this. But then I'm like, I know the prototype they are, but I don't know what kind of personality like that. But
beyond
that's literally one little part of a personality. What is beyond that?
Yeah.
And because if you look, these Uncanny X-Men, bisexuality, people of color, different backgrounds, but you know their personalities, you know what cartoons they like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just not, it's not diving it. Yeah. And that's the thing is like, there's a human thing that they're missing.
Yeah.
Yeah. This Uncanny, it's just the fact that this is the new thing that they're going into. I just think Gail Simone's she's the bee's knees, man. I just love her.
She really is. She really is.
She's killing it.
The other thing that is a testament to how good she is this is a one-off story. This is not an arc. This is a one issue.
She'll probably come back. Arcs. I'm sure she'll come back.
Sure. But this is the kind of story that like used to work really well. Like I feel like back in decades ago, you would never bat
Chris
an
Claremont
eye.
Days.
Yeah. Like you would never like this one-off adventure. You'd be like, that was fun. But these days, we've developed kind of a taste for more like, does it matter? Is there meaning? Where does it fit into the broader narrative? And so we would always kind of poo-poo these like one-off, like this was a filler issue. But that
Laura Kinney and Haymaker,
right? But it works here. Gail's able to make even the filler issue work and be a really interesting story because again,
you know what a filler issue is for? It's supposed to enhance the character
downtime with the characters. Yes.
You get something out of the character arc, which this 100% does. Right. Laura Kinney with Haymaker did zero to her character arc.
Yes.
It's great. Love it.
Yeah.
Love
it's
it.
It's great. It's great. All right.
Thanks, Gail.
Thanks, Gail. Once again. Yay.
Well, Superman, we did have a bit of a disagreement. Brett liked it a little bit more than me, but I still did like it. And I'm looking forward to what new things will come out of this universe. Universe is done right. So that's the more important thing. Because if I didn't like the universe, I'm like, well, I'm now going to hate every movie coming out of this.
And it's such a simple answer. It was like, well, what do we do to stand out from Marvel? We be more fun. We're more serious. We're more real. It is that we're more fucking fun.
But also, I think that's the thing that you realize is Batman is serious. Superman is noble, noble and fun and glorious and heroic. And so sometimes it's hard to have those two exist in different worlds. And so the fact that he's like, no, those are two different worlds now. The yeah. Batman and Superman. Yeah. So smart.
Yeah.
So smart. I wonder if there will be a different Batman that will exist.
There will. There's a movie coming called Brave and the Bold. And I do think
and that will be. Do you think is that where Damian, like Damian's going to be?
I don't know. No, I think there'll be a Bruce Wayne. You got, how do you not do Bruce Wayne?
No, no, no. Yeah, but isn't Damian, like, isn't Batman and Robin with Damian?
Oh,
movie too? Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to go back and see. Let's do that next. Next issue. Next episode.
But we have now a couple of weeks. Is it 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Oh God, I'm so scared. I'm gonna hate it. I'm getting worried.
One thing I love.
One thing
is if you look at, so they did that issue last week of the movie Fantastic Four's origin. They have ads in the comic that are from the world of the Fantastic Four.
Oh, fun. Okay.
It's a 2-page spread. Of it's like an old 1960s like clip out this coupon kind of thing of joining the Johnny Storm fan club and like just opening that spread and seeing this giant ad with all these like dumb cut out photos of like 1960s newspaper of Joseph Quinn like trying to look hot.
Oh, that's fun.
Ooh, I'm gonna like this. Yeah. But I don't know. Now we've got. We can't help but compare it to what's going to come out of James Gunn's office. I'm so nervous. We're going to be like, oh, Marvel's so serious. Oh, Marvel better. Get the stick out of your ass, Marvel. Be more fun like DC.
I will say, I think you could watch just this episode of Rick and Morty. And I think you would really appreciate it. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, no, I will. I will.
You would really appreciate it. I will. There's a whole subline about Zach. Snyder always working on his biceps and he keeps telling James Gunn that he needs to work out more. And then there's a scene where James Gunn is trying to steal one of Rick's inventions. And he's like, no, he's like, Zach, you were right.
One final thing I want to say about Superman is at the end, like Act 3, where he like the Raptors come and he's spinning around doing his heat vision. And he's like just destroying everything. There was a 13-year-old kid who stood up in front of me and went, that's Superman! And I was like, oh! Like, I think that that was the power of the movie. Like, watching that little kid, I started to tear up.
And that was the moment that that kid realized he was gay.
And that was the moment that kid got quickly taken out of the theater by ICE. It was very sad.
Yeah, but no, it's when he realized he was gay, because I'll tell you this. I don't know if you're aware of this.
Oh, right.
Be careful. People on the right, you take heed, because it's not just reading comics. If you go see Superman, well, then that makes you queer. You're a queer.